We'll switch gears now. It is time to bring in Doug Robertson of the AJC, AJC.com. He covers Atlanta United for the AJC. Doug, thank you for giving us some time this morning.
Hey, no problem. How are you?
We're doing fantastic, and Atlanta United coming up on Sunday. We'll take on DC United, the first battle of Uniteds. Well, actually, I guess they played Minnesota United, but the first battle of Uniteds in Atlanta this season for Atlanta United. And first and foremost here, they had a pretty good road trip, all things considered, drawing two, winning one, and losing one. What were your thoughts on the four-game road swing?
I kind of agree with Gerardo Martino with his comments after the Real Salt Lake game. When I asked him if 5 points was a good total, he said, before Montreal, yes. After Montreal, no. So I think he thought that they left some on the table. Which it's hard to argue with. They should have gotten the point from Montreal, if not for kind of a fluky goal. A lot of people want to give him some credit for that goal, but it's just hard for me to think he was actually trying to do a back heel in the opposite corner.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And one thing about that Montreal game, the Leandro Gonzalez Perez red card that ended up getting rescinded, which has to make you really upset as an Atlanta United fan, because if it wasn't viewed as a red card on review, then that basically cost Atlanta United the game in terms of getting a point or getting 3 points. So I was talking with somebody the other day, and they were like, well, if the Perez suspension was overturned, then shouldn't that referee face some sort of discipline for making a terrible call?
You would think. I don't know what the standards are in MLS for that kind of stuff. I don't know if one red card is a rescission or two red cards is a rescission or how that works in that league. But you would think that there's got to be something, because otherwise it's not fair, and it did cost the team 3 points. The only thing I guess you could take solace in is at some point it's going to happen again, probably to some other team, and so it all kind of balances out.
Doug, I wanted to ask you in particular about a few players. First, I'll start with Tito Villalba, Atlanta United's first DP signing. And Villalba has been interesting because he has scored some goals, but at the same time, outside of the goals, he's kind of had some sloppy touches, not necessarily getting in on some plays, sending in balls and things like that. What have your overall impressions been on Villalba's first games with Atlanta United, and is he kind of receiving some unfair criticism from some circles?
I guess it depends upon the volume of the criticism. If it's not personal, I think people are right to wonder, you know, particularly on those two plays in the second half against Salt Lake, when he had the ball coming down the wing, they looked like they had the numerical advantage. All he had to do was make the right decision, and twice he made, you know, the result, it turned out to be an incorrect decision. I've never been in that position in an MLS game, going down the wing at 100 miles an hour, trying to factor in people who are moving around and defenders who are moving around. So I can't say if he made the wrong decision. All I know is the result was wrong. Other than that, I think he's having a pretty good season. I mean, people were really skeptical, or not skeptical, but people were really curious where the goals were going to come from with Atlanta United. Even before Joseph Martinez went on his tear, that was a legitimate question. People didn't like what Kenwin Jones was doing based upon the preseason. Martinez scored a couple of goals in the preseason, but the question was still out there. Well, I mean, Martinez has 5 goals. Villalba now has 4 goals, which is a pretty good total. Assad has 2 goals. So from those kind of the triangle points at the top of the formation, you've gotten 11 goals already. And that's not a bad total. So Villalba should get credit for that. Will his decision-making improve as he gets more experience? I'm sure it will. I'm guessing Martino and his assistants have already kind of gone over the film with him and said, look, you had Kenwin Jones right here on this play, or you didn't need to hit it quite as hard to Almiron on that second play against Salt Lake, those kind of things. So if the mistakes keep happening, then, you know, you probably have a right to wonder what's going on. But I think it's too early in the season, and he's too inexperienced a player to be too hard on him at this point.
Talking with Doug Robertson from the AJC, AJC.com, covers Atlanta United. Kenwin Jones got his second start against Real Salt Lake, and it was a pretty ineffective game from him. Do you think that was more him or more the play that was going on around him?
That's a good question. You know, the knock on Kenwin throughout his career has been you don't know which Kenwin is showing up. The one against Montreal was fantastic. The one against Salt Lake, wasn't as good. But at the same time, the Salt Lake guys were climbing all over him throughout the game, jumping over his back, slamming into him. And I don't think a foul was ever called against any of them. And Atlanta United continued to try to play long balls to him. Atlanta United continued to lose most of them, the majority of them, if I had the stats, or if they kept that stat, I could tell you. But just my impression was they were losing most of them. And even after the game, Michael Parkhurst, I asked him what was going on after that first 15 minutes when y'all seemed to kind of lose control of everything. And he said we weren't winning the first balls or the second balls, the long balls, that we were trying to play out. He wasn't being critical of Kinwin, I don't think. I think he was just saying it just wasn't working for whatever reason. And I think that reason was Salt Lake was just climbing all over Kinwin. You can't jump, but there's somebody on your back. So we'll see, you know, if he plays again this weekend against DC United, we'll see if which Kinwin we'll get.
And Miguel Almiron, another player I wanted to ask about, obviously a guy that has been lights out for Atlanta United, taking the league by storm. Some would argue he is in contention for MVP and has been one of, if not the best player in MLS this season. So what have kind of Tata Martino and some of the people around Atlanta United said about him, and what do you think the expectation going forward for him will be?
I mean, I find it hilarious, or not hilarious, but very interesting. The salary database came out yesterday, released by the players' union. So this is they know that it's coming, all the players do. And you look at Almiron's guaranteed compensation for this year, and it's $2.2 million. You look at some of the other salaries out there, for example, Michael Bradley, who for some reason is my favorite whipping boy right now, and I don't know why, makes $6.5
million
for a guy who I just don't see it. I think he's a good player. I just don't think he's a great player. I certainly don't think he's an automatic inclusion in the U.S. men's national team.
You and I are of the like mind on Michael Bradley.
$6.5 million. So Almiron for $2.2 million is a heck of a bargain. I think he's having a pretty good season. Yeah, I guess he should be in the running for the talk of MVP. Again, it's so early in the season. Who knows what's going to happen? I wouldn't see him being voted ahead of Lahren or Nagby or some of those guys right now. But that he's even in the conversation is a pretty good sign. And I think they just need him to continue to do what he does, which is kind of create a little bit of havoc, get that ball on that left foot, and make things happen. And just be a pest up and down the field. He just runs and runs and runs. It's amazing to watch.
We have a listener question I want to throw at you here. Joseph Martinez, when will he play?
Well, it depends upon whose timeline you follow. It's been a month since his injury, a little more than a month. Atlanta United said that he could return from 4 to 6 weeks away. Their timeline is based upon that announcement, which was a week after his injury, or almost a week after his injury. So I don't think he's going to come back. This is just a guess on my part. I saw him yesterday. He was walking around. He looked a lot better than he did the week before, but he still hasn't resumed training or anything like that. I think it's probably going to be 3 weeks, before you see him again, at least 3 weeks.
So no
which
Joseph.
Which would follow the six-week timeline for Atlanta United.
So no Joseph Martinez this weekend means that we'll probably see Kenwin Jones up top, you would think, unless the ineffective play he had against Real Salt Lake means that they try Vijalba back in that position. But the main problem I feel like with Atlanta United is, outside of Martinez and Kenwin Jones, you don't have that pure striker, although Brandon Vasquez made his debut, which was basically just supposed to be a time-wasting substitution against Real Salt Lake, and he ends up scoring a goal on a pretty sloppy series of events that led to the goal. But is he a guy that maybe could be an option at that central forward position?
Well, there's Vasquez. I don't know if he could play a full game yet or even 60 minutes yet. I just don't think he has the experience. There's also Rochez out there who is training with the team. I would be stunned if he were in the starting 11 or even in the 18 still at this point. I think he's destined for Charleston, if I had to guess.
He's a player they got from Orlando, correct?
Right, yeah. He was one of their DPs, original DPs, and just never quite worked out. And then it ended up going back to his home country for a little while before Atlanta United claimed him. His salary is quite large, but Atlanta United is only on the hook for like $53,000 of that, if people go and look at that. Anyway, they could put Kinwin up top. Peterson is still out, so they could put Viaba at the top and move Almiron out to the wing and do a spine of Gressel, Larinowitz, and Carmona also. I don't know which way they're going to lean. I would think because they played so well in the first half against Montreal with Kinwin up top, and they did score two goals with Kinwin in the lineup on the road at Salt Lake, that it would seem likely he's going to be up top. And throw in the fact that DC United is likely going to bunker in because their offense is just so poor this year. They're going to need somebody up at the top that's going to be able to head balls down on rushing guys. So I think it's going to be Kinwin.
Would you say that the midfield trio that we saw against Real Salt Lake of Miguel Almiron, Carmona, and Larinowitz is the best midfield trio we've seen Atlanta United put out there this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. It's the lineup that I thought we would see at the beginning of the year. But instead, Gressel got the start and played well and has played mostly well. I think that's probably the strongest lineup. I don't think that it helps the offense very much. I think that because Carmona was a defensive midfielder for the first few games of the season, he still has a tendency to stay back, and so it creates a lot of space in between Carmona and Larinowitz and Almiron, for example. And I think that was also part of the problem in the first half against Salt Lake. There was just too big of a gap there that they were forced to play some of those long balls that just weren't working. When Gressel is in there, I think he operates in that space a little bit better. But I'm sure that Atlanta United has probably worked on that with Carmona this week. Telling him you don't have to play the double pivot with Larinowitz. You can move up the field a little bit further, which actually is his natural position, rather than as a holding midfielder. So, I think you're right. I think that's the strongest midfield.
You mentioned DC United struggling in the attack. What are some other things to look out for with DC United coming up this weekend?
Well, you know, for a while, Gressel was considered the one of the top rookies in the league. There's been some other guys who didn't go through the draft but who were signed as homegrown guys who've been playing well, and one of those is Harks, the son of John Harks. Ian Harks is playing well as a midfielder for DC United. He's getting a lot of playing time, too. So if Gressel starts, you'll have the Gressel-Harks kind of battle, which could be interesting to watch, which could, affect later in the year the Rookie of the Year voting. So that'll be kind of fun. And really, that's about it. There's not just a whole lot going on that's too exciting about DC United this season.
Looking at the schedule now, I mean, obviously they play at home on Sunday at 3 o'clock, then they're gone for two more games, and they'll be back on May 20th hosting the Houston Dynamo. One thing that's been talked about a lot now is the delay of Mercedes-Benz Stadium to where Atlanta United will not be the first sporting event in the stadium now. Their first game at the new stadium will be September 9th when they host FC Dallas. Has there been any word about the rescheduled games that they had to move from August? Has that come down yet?
No, that hasn't been announced yet. That's another thing I've got to check on this week. They both said it wasn't going to take long, and I'm sure they want to get it out there sooner rather than later. But it takes working with the other teams who are affected too, and then the teams that they were supposed to face are affected. So there's a few dominoes they have to move around to make it work like it's supposed to. But I was told that it shouldn't be too long, so I'm going to check on that again this week.
And we've heard some things from like the AMB group, from like Arthur Blank, about the delay of the stadium, but we haven't really heard too much from Atlanta United specifically about it. Have they said really anything about it, or have they just kind of defaulted to the higher-ups there?
Now, I wrote something last week. Darren Eels, president of the club, said that, you know, they were as disappointed as the fans that they're not going to get in there when they thought they were going to get to play in there, but there's really nothing they can do about it. It's not – I mean, none of this has anything to do with anything Atlanta United did. It's just, as Steve Kenny kept saying, normal issues with steel. But, of course, if there were normal issues with steel, everybody would be in the building by now because it was supposed to open in March. So I wouldn't characterize it as normal, but it's just issues with the steel and making sure that everything works like it's supposed to.
Doug Robertson from the AJC, AJC.com. Doug, before he lets you go, prediction for the weekend. Does Atlanta United get the 3 points against DC United?
Yeah, I think they do. I think, and I'm going to put a bigger score out there than usual. I think it's going to be 3-0 Atlanta United. I think they're going to probably score two goals pretty quickly powered by that home crowd, happy to be home, use their speed against DC United and get those 3 points.
Is this a playoff team right now, if you had to say?
Yeah, I think it's a playoff team. The East, you know, the East is pretty jumbled up, though, right now. At some point, there's got to be some separation. Somebody's got to either have to go on a run one way or the other, positive or negative. Philadelphia is kind of doing that, but there needs to be another team to do that. But, yeah, I think they're definitely a playoff team. You know, maintain a little bit of good luck and maintain a minimum of injuries, and they should be in that top six.
Doug Robertson, AJC, AJC.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Sam. See you, buddy.
All right. That was Doug Robertson talking some Atlanta United.